Philippians chapter number 4. I want to speak to you this morning about some principles of sowing and reaping. Some principles of sowing and reaping. Why don't we pray together, and would you ask God to use you? Let's not just have one great rally yesterday, but let's go week after week and seek to go and reach the poor and the lost and the needy. Share with them the gospel of Christ, and let's also send the gospel around the world. Let's do it. Let's do it. I want to speak to you about some principles of sowing and reaping. Let's pray together and ask God to use you in this community. Ask God to use you to help send the gospel around the earth. Ask God to put on your heart this morning what He wants you to do for His work, for eternal work. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. I thank you for each one here today. Ask you, Lord, to stir our hearts. May we grasp the truth of Scriptures, be taught by it, be helped by it. Lord, and also be given a greater faith to trust you, God, for what you can do through us for the cause of world evangelism. We do want to send the good news. We do want to take salvation to the ends of the earth. Lord, I pray you'd use our young people, use the adults, use each one here in a great and mighty way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Principles of sowing and reaping. The Bible tells us in Galatians, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. There are some universal principles of the harvest that are always true. There are four principles of the harvest, if you will, some principles of sowing and reaping that are true for every farmer, but they're also true in the life of every Christian. I want to share them with you quickly. Number one, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow, don't you? What do apple seeds produce? They produce apple trees, right? Seeds of corn, they produce what? Corn, right? You get some mango seeds, put them in the ground, what do they produce? Avocados. No, sorry. You put mango seeds in the ground, what do they produce? Mango trees, right? Avocado seeds would produce avocados. Oranges would produce oranges. Lemon seeds produce lemons, and so on. You reap what you sow. Look what the Bible says here in Philippians chapter number 4. And we're going to look there at verse number 10. The Bible tells us here about Paul writing to the church at Philippi, and we know that they were a church that got involved and helped support him. And I don't got to take time to show you all that scripturally. But how they were involved in helping Paul to take the gospel throughout Macedonia and then into Achaia and so on. But here we have Paul writing back to them, and he says this in verse 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." Then go down to verse number 15. It says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." They didn't send an odor. They sent gifts and offerings and things to meet the material needs of Paul and Silas as they traveled as missionaries and church planters and so on. But Paul was saying, it's like an odor sweet-smelling to God. It's a sacrifice that's well-pleasing to God. As you've taken care of me, you've sent time and again, you've been sending to care for us. And then look at verse number 19. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Paul writes to them and says, listen, because you were need fillers, I've got a promise for you. God will supply your needs. You're going to reap what you've sown. As we seek to be need fillers, and that's what this is about, as we seek to get involved in taking care of missionaries and meeting their needs physically so they can minister the gospel to people in other countries, as we seek to meet their needs, then God is then obligated to meet our needs. I've told this story before, and I could give other illustrations, but this one is very memorable in my life, of course, and really it's happened many other times in different ways. But back when we were living in London and we were, you know, just newly married, and I was just there to kind of help Brother Paulus in a new church plant, and I was just sort of working part-time this sales job, and you're hoping to make enough sales. You didn't make sales, you didn't get any money, but, you know, so we had fairly limited income.
And we're there and we're newly married and we're trying to help this new church planner and so on. Well, something happened where we maybe went out of town for a meeting in a church or something. We came back to London, came back to Lighthouse Baptist Church there. And on a Sunday night at the end of the service, Pastor Powis is, you know, getting ready to dismiss, and he says, okay, Maxine, you come to the piano and play, and those of you that know what you're supposed to do, let's go ahead and do it now. And my wife and I, we always knew what to do. There was something for us to do, but this was strange. And so Maxine gets to the piano there, and she starts playing the song, "There Shall Be Showers of Blessing." My wife and I are sitting around the front row right where she is there now. Everybody else in the auditorium gets up, leaves the auditorium, and goes out the back door. And, you know, just not long later, they all start walking back into the auditorium, and they're carrying bags of groceries, they're carrying boxes of groceries, and they bring that all up, and they set that around me and my wife there. You know, God was taking care of our needs because we had sought to take care of the needs of others. The ministry at that time was ministering to a lot of poor people, if you will, and there was times where we had gotten groceries for people and times where we had helped people with different needs and, you know, those that we, you know, would drive and bring them to church and different things. Listen, God took care of our needs. Do you know why? Because we were trying to take care of other people's needs. Nobody really would have known personally what was needs in our life, but God took care of us. And God fed us, and God filled up our cupboards, and, you know, we had lots of spaghetti to eat for a long time and different things. But you know what? I'm saying God was very good. God was very good to take care of us. You reap what you sow. You'll reap what you sow in life. It's true in farming. It's just true in the spiritual realm. It's true in the Christian life. You will reap what you sow. So here's statement number two. You will reap more than what you sow. You'll reap more than what you sow. You know, one apple seed can end up producing an apple tree with many apples on it and many seeds, can it? Just you need one seed to grow and it can produce many. One seed of corn can produce a stalk that would end up having, you know, maybe 3 or 4 ears of corn on it and many, many seeds of corn, many kernels of corn. You reap more than what you sow. One mango seed could produce a mango tree with many mangoes on it and so on. You reap more than what you sow. Back in the days when my wife and I began traveling on deputation, we were going to prepare to come to Toronto area and start a church. We ended up starting to keep a blessing book. And this was just a massive old green book, a ledger book that my mom, you know, had something to give away, you know, probably a garage sale thing. So it was just basically a blank book. And we didn't have a whole lot of use for that book, except we became our blessing book. And we started on that book, we kept track of things, and on one side of every, you know, page of the book, one side we would keep track of what we were giving to the Lord and what we were giving others, and, you know, so we'd write down our tithes and our offerings and what we were giving to the building fund and that sort of thing. And maybe if we had, you know, if we had helped somebody else with something, or if we had given some groceries to somebody else, or if we had done something for somebody, we kept that on our side of the page. But on the other side of the page, we started keeping track of all that God was giving to us. So we, you know, if I made some money, put that on there. If somebody gave us a gift, we wrote that on there. If somebody gave us an offering or something, we kept that on there. If somebody maybe took us out for a meal, we wrote that on there. And we were keeping track of all of our increase. And we were keeping track of all that God blessed us and all that God given to us. And can I tell you something? God's side of the page was always filling up faster than our side of the page. Because we found that God was always giving back more to us than what we were giving to Him and to others. We tried. But you know something? It's impossible to outgive God. We would keep track of it, but you know, you reap more than what you sow. And God blessed us, and God gave back to us really far more than we ever gave to Him. Turn with me to the book of Malachi, chapter number 3. Malachi, chapter number 3. Malachi, chapter 3. And let's look there beginning in verse number 8. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. The Bible says this. If we understand even verse 7, let me read that as well. Even from the days of your fathers, you were gone away from my ordinances. There's been some things you've not been keeping, not been doing. It says, and have not kept them. He says, now return unto me, and I'll return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But he said, you kind of asked, well, wherein shall we return? How is it that we've left you, God? How is it that we've not been obeying you or keeping your commands? What is it? Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And here's God's response, in tithes and offerings. God says, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the window of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Listen, that blessing that God promises there is good. And it's more. You reap more than what you sow. I've seen it many times in my life that if I will choose to honor God and we can say, you know, times are tough and I've only got so much. God knows what you have. And if we will honor God with paying to Him and giving to Him the tithe, and we will seek to show our love to the Lord and express our love to the Lord by giving Him our offerings. Listen, God is duty bound to take care of us. The Bible says that if we bring our tithes and offerings unto Him, listen, He promises to bless. He promises that He will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God is good, and God is always faithful in our lives. You do reap more than what you sow. Listen, we can start that with by bringing our tithes and offerings to the Lord, of course. You know, we can take and here's what I've got, and so on, and this was my income, or this was my increase, and so I say, okay, God, I'm going to come to church on Sunday, and I'm going to give you my tithe, and I'm going to give you my offerings, and I want to be a blessing unto you. And then I can look and see, and hey, there's a missionary. Let me go fill up his gas with car. I don't get it. His car with gas. Well, how would I say? Fill up his gas with car, yeah. Fill up his car with gas. Okay? Let me see this guy over here. Boy, those shoes, help us. They got a hole in the bottom of them. You need a pair of shoes. And I don't make a show of it. But to go and see that there's a person that has a need, and maybe I can help them, right? And so I try to meet that need, and I see here's a person who really looks like she needs help, and so I slip her something, you know. As we honor the Lord, and as we give unto the Lord, and as we just look to care for the needs of other people, you know what God promises to do? He promises to take care of us. If you'll be a need filler, God will meet your needs. You will reap what you sow, but not only that, you'll reap more than what you sow. If you'll be a Christian who'll say, I'm not just going to hold on to this for myself, but you'll take what you do have and you'll say, you know, God, I'm going to tithe. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to put you first. I know that things may be tough, but I'm not going to just put myself first. I'm going to put you first. I'm going to tithe. We won't be tight-fisted holding on to it, but we'll say, God, I'm going to give it. I want to give unto you. I want to meet needs. I want to bless you, and I want to be a part of your work. As we give it, you know what God will end up doing for that kind of a person? God will give you a bigger bag. He really will. Because if you take what God has given to you and you'll meet the needs of others and you'll honor the Lord and you'll put Him first, you know what? God will start giving you a bigger bag to work with. Because He says, wow, I can trust that person. Wow, that person's honoring me. That person wants to be a blessing to others. And that person's looking to the need of the world. And that person sees the need of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. And listen, when I give to that Christian, boy, they're trying to do all they can to help missionaries get to the field. They're trying to do all they can to be a blessing to my work. Hey, I'll give them more to work with. Listen, you will reap what you sow, but not only that, you will reap more than what you sow. You will reap more than what you sow. Here's principle number three. You reap in proportion to your sowing. You will reap in proportion to your sowing. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And let's look there at verse number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Turn with me, if you would, over to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. As you're turning there, listen very carefully. If you plant a little seed, you know what you can expect to gather? A little harvest. If you plant much seed, you can expect to gather a greater harvest. When we look at these verses in Corinthians, they were actually really talking about money. They were talking about some offerings to be given and so on. The Bible said that if we sow sparingly, we'll reap sparingly. If we sow bountifully, we'll reap bountifully. Look what the Bible says here in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. The Bible says, give,
and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. The third statement this morning is this: you reap in proportion to your sowing. You know how God blesses us? He blesses us according to the size measure that we use for our giving. Give and it shall be given unto you.
Listen, here we have God. God's resources are absolutely unlimited. There is a God who owns the cattle on the thousand hills, the Bible says. There is a God who is very good, and he's very kind to his people. And God comes into our life, and God has, I believe, and hopefully he's given you strength, and he's given you health, and he's given you a life to live, and he blesses your life. He's given you, hopefully, a job where you can work, and you can earn an income, and so on. And he's blessed you, and our God is very, very good to give to us in that way. Now, the Bible comes to us, and God says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Give and it shall be given unto you. God here has given us so much in our life as Christians and as his people. But then, now he tells us, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. God wants us to come and look in our life and say, wow, God has given me good things. God's given me strength. God's given me health. God's given me a job. And God wants you to reach into what he's given you. And he tells us in the Bible to take a portion of that. Bring your tithe and bring your tithe into the storehouse and give that unto the Lord. And as God has blessed you and God has provided things for you and as God has given you a job and God gives you certain things, you're to tithe. I'm to tithe. All of us are to tithe and bring the first tenth of that unto the Lord. And we bring it to the Lord. We bring it through the local New Testament church. Biblically, I believe that. Now we come, and as God sees that we've done that, and God sees that we've chosen to honor him, you know what God does? God reaches down when we set that measure down. And the Bible has said in that verse, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, or the same measure that you use to give, it shall be given unto you again. And God comes over to here and he says, thank you so much. Thank you for bringing your tithe to church this Sunday. Thank you for honoring me. And God comes over here to his blessings, and he reaches into there, and he scoops up the blessings that are really heaping. Give, and it shall be given unto you in good measure. You'll reap more than what you sow. Give, and it shall be given unto you in good measure. Press down, the Bible says. Press down. Shaken together. Press it down in there. God's bigger and stronger than I am. You know what? God's got more room now. He gets it and he makes sure it's given. It shall be given unto you in good measure. Good measure. Press down. Press down, the Bible says. And God just packs it in there as much as he can. Given, it shall be given unto you in good measure. Press down. Shaken together. Give. And it shall be given unto you in good measure, the Bible says. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's how God will give back to you. I promise you, you will reap what you sow. You'll reap more than what you sow, but you also reap in proportion to your sowing. Because what God uses, the Bible says, is the same measure that you used in your giving unto the Lord. He uses that same measuring cup, that same thing. But he does give more because he heaps it. So it's running over. He presses it down. He shakes it together. And that's how God gives back to you. I guarantee if we could have weighed that, what I just put in there was way more than you gave to God. It was more than your tithe. It was more, because he's good. And he gives, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together shall God give. You know, it's up to us how we want to give. It's up to us what size measure we want to use in giving unto the Lord. Give and it shall be given unto you. You know, if we want to use this size of measure in giving to the Lord, we can do that. We go in and say, here, God, I want to be a blessing. We put that in there. God says, thank you. He reaches down. He picks up the measure that you just used. He comes over here to his blessings. And he gives unto you in good measure. And he presses it down with his baby finger. All right, that's how God does it. Presses it down, shakes it together, gets it in there, packs it in. Give and it shall be given unto you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's how God gives back. Hey, that's good, isn't it? I got a lot more on there than what I gave. Man, God is good. Give and it shall be given unto you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. It's up to you. Do you want to use this? Do you want to use this? Do you want to use this? Hey, I'd rather use this. You know, use this to give to the Lord. Because then you know what God uses? This measure. And God comes over here to his bucket of blessings, and he comes and he gets it and he scoops it up. Give unto you and it shall be given unto you. You reap more than what you sow. He gives back in good measure. And then he comes and he presses it down and he shakes it together, shakes it together, shakes it together, presses it down. Give and it shall be given unto you. God comes in the blessings and he presses it down and he heaps it so it's filling and just heaping and running over. And that's how God gives back to the Christian. Let me tell you something. God is good. You will reap what you sow. If you meet the needs of God, and you meet the needs of God's work, and you meet the needs of your local church, and you meet the needs of helping missionaries to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, listen, God will take care of you. You will reap what you sow. But not only that, you'll reap more than what you sow. He always gives back more. He always gives in abundance. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You'll reap more than what you sow. But don't forget this principle of sowing and reaping. You will reap in proportion to your sowing. The same measure that you use in your giving to the Lord, that's your choice, but that's the measure that God will use in his giving back to you. You will reap what you sow. You will reap more than what you sow. You will reap in proportion to your sowing. Here's statement number four. You must sow before you reap. You must sow before you reap. You know, I've learned that the more our personal needs, the better it is for us to give more to our church and to world missions. Because you'll reap more than what you sow. Number four, you must sow before you reap. You know, if a farmer never plants any seeds in his field, then he'll not gather any crops. The Bible says in Luke 6 and 38, give and it shall be given unto you. What comes first? The giving and it shall be given unto you. You've got to sow before you reap. The Bible says in Matthew 6, 33, what does it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Eric, and all these things shall be added unto you. You can't force God to give generously to you. His giving begins when you give. His giving begins when you give. Number one, you'll reap what you sow. Number two, you'll reap more than what you sow. Number three, you'll reap in proportion to your sowing. Number four, you must sow before you reap. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 real quick. Proverbs 11 and verse 24. Eric, get me a wet cloth and a dry cloth, please. Proverbs 11 and verse 24. You know, sometimes the things that God does and the way that God does things, they just don't seem logical to man. For example, how can we get by better on 90% of our income than we can on 100% of our income? Now, I get this paycheck, I've got this income, and how am I going to get by better? How is it going to be better off for me to give 10%? I get that $400 paycheck every week, or that $200 paycheck every week, or that $1,000 paycheck every week, or that $2,000 paycheck every week. How in the world, God, if I give 10% of that, just give that as a tithe back to God, how in the world am I going to be better off? Sometimes the way God does things don't make sense to us, but they're the Bible, they're true, and they work. I've seen them work. What does Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 24 say? The Bible says there is, and there's kind of an understood he or she in there, okay? There is he or she, that there is a man or woman that scattereth. What's that referring to? There is a person, there is that man or woman that scattereth, that enjoys giving, and yet increaseth, the Bible says. They seem to end up with more. I mean, they just love giving. They just love to give the Lord's word. And it always seems, how do they end up with more? They're so generous in their giving. They love to tithe. They love to give their offerings to God. They just love to find needs and meet those needs and help people and help the Lord's work. And it just, wow. Because the Bible says it, there is that person, there is that man or woman that scattereth, that actually makes a mess, that actually enjoys giving, and yet they increase. They increase it. They seem to end up with more. And look what the Bible says, though. There is another person. There is he or she that withholdeth more than is meet. There is that type of person that just really wants to try to keep everything for themselves. But the Bible says about that person what? It tendeth to poverty. It tendeth to poverty. They actually end up being more in poverty and worse off than the person who was a giver. You know something? God wants to see if he can trust you to give away what he gives to you. You know, man's logic will not be able to explain that verse. But the truth is this. If we are not obedient to God concerning tithes and offerings, then we will not have God's blessing. Proverbs 3:9 says this, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. All that God has given to me, all the increase. If I will honor him, if I will put him first in my giving, he will honor me. He will bless me. I will reap what I sow. I'll reap more than what I sow. I'll reap in proportion to my sowing. We need to put God first when it comes to the area of our finances. You know, we'll not have God's blessing, but rather his cursing on our finances if we do not honor God with our giving. Turn with me to Haggai. That's a book, a small little book at the end of the Old Testament. So if you're looking in the middle of your Bible, you know, or the beginning of the New Testament to the book of Matthew, if you'll turn back just a few pages before that, you'll find a little small book. There was a prophet whose name was Haggai. Haggai. I want you to notice what the Bible tells us there. Haggai chapter 1 and verse number 5. Haggai chapter 1 and verse number 5. The Bible says there, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. Think about what you've been doing. Think about how you've been acting. Think about how you've been treating me. He says, consider your ways. Because God's house was not built, because God's work was not taking first place, because every man was putting themselves first, God says, this is how I'm going to teach you a lesson about who should have first place in your life. Look what it says now in verse 6. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. God says this, listen, you've been working hard for yourself, but you're not getting ahead, are you? You've been working hard. You've been doing this. You've been working overtime. You've been doing everything you can to make that thing succeed, but you're struggling. And I don't know if it's financial struggles or not necessarily. Sometimes it is, but maybe it struggles in other areas of life. You've been trying so hard. You've been doing all this, but you're struggling. Why? Because God is not pleased when you're not putting him first with your money. The Bible says this. It's like we're earning wages and putting it into a bag with holes. You know, God is there and he sees us and he's watching as we go to work and we earn our paycheck and we work overtime and we're too tired and too busy to come to church and we can't come to prayer meetings and we can't give much to the Lord because now we've got big mortgages we got to pay and I just can't give to the Lord. He knows that. I got a lot to take care of myself. And he sees us as we're working so hard. He sees us as we work and we're doing all this, but we're doing it for ourselves. We're putting ourselves first. And God says it's like we're earning wages and we're just putting it into a bag with holes in it. We're here trying to put it into our own pockets. We're here trying to put it into our own money bag. But while you were sleeping, God cut a hole in your bag. While you were sleeping, God did some things, and your life is more difficult than it ought to be. And all your struggles to take care of yourself and put yourself first, it's not getting yourself as far ahead as you'd really like to be. Why? Because you're doing so much, but you're doing it with putting yourself first. Listen, God wants to be put first in your life. He wants to be put first in your life. Look what the Bible goes on and says there in verse number 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house and I will take pleasure in it and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. He says, listen, put my work first. He says, you've been taking care of your own houses. You've been having your building your own houses, doing this and putting yourself first. But my house has not been built all this time. This isn't a message about, you know, us building a church building or anything like that. But it's appropriate to what was said. It's just about God's people. They were thinking about themselves, and I've got to have this and so on. But God said, you've not been putting me first. You've not been putting God's house first. You've not been putting God's work first. We do all these things for ourselves, but what about me, God says? Why aren't you concerned about me and my work?
Listen, we will have it better off when we honor God and put him first. Look what the Bible says in verse 9. He says, ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. You worked hard. You were looking for much. You were trying to build yourself up and be a success and have this and that. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when he brought it home, God says, I did blow upon it. We were stacking our pile of cash. We were building up resources for ourselves. And God, he blows it. He scatters it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed. In other words, it's stopped from dew. It's stopped from that blessing. And the earth is stayed from her fruit. You're working in your fields. You're working in your orchards. You're working your job. You're trying to do all this. And God says, your orchards aren't bearing the kind of fruit that they could bear if they had my blessing on it. You're a farmer, you're working in your fields. Man, you're working in your job. Lady, you're doing this. But because you're putting yourself first rather than me, you're not being as successful as you could be.
Verse number 11 says this. And I called for a drought upon the land, upon the mountains, and upon the corn, upon the new wine, upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men and cattle, upon all the labors of the hands. Listen, I'd far rather be in a position where God is blessing me and I'm honoring him and I'm putting him first than to get myself in the place where I start putting myself first and God starts cutting bags in my hole, cutting holes in my bag. I don't want it to be that God has cut holes in my bag, that God is making it, that though I labor and though I work and though I'm trying to have increase and so on, I'm actually struggling and not getting ahead like I could. It's far better off to be in a position where, hey, I'm taking what God has given to me and I'm honoring God and I'm giving him my tithe and I'm giving him offerings and I'm putting the Lord first and I'm looking to meet needs and I'm looking to serve Christ. And then God says, wow, I want you to have a bigger bag. I think I'll give you a pay raise. I think I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, like Malachi talks about as well. You know what I think? Instead of making your fridge last 15 years, instead of making this happen, you know, God, I'm going to make it last longer for you. We can learn that if we look at Malachi and Haggai. God promises to bless. God said this in the book of Samuel, them that honor me will I honor. We need to honor God with our giving. We can study these principles. Let me show you something in 2 Corinthians, and we're going to be finished. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 with me, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. These principles of sowing and reaping. You will reap what you sow. You'll reap more than what you sow. And you'll reap in proportion to your sowing, but you must sow before you reap. You know, we kind of see these truths further in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. I want you to look there with me at verse number 6, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 6. The Bible says, but this I say, he would sow us sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. What's that verse talking about? What's that verse talking about, verse 10? The Bible says, he that ministereth seed to the sower.
These chapters, we're actually talking about Christians and churches that were giving monetarily and so on, giving physical things to meet the physical needs of other people. And Paul writes this to them. He says, he that ministers seed to the sower. In other words, the person that gives his seed or gives his money away to the person who is a sower. We'll let that sower represent that person who's concerned with getting the gospel out to the world. That person who's a sower of the seed of the gospel. That person who's a preacher of the gospel. That person who's a missionary. When we as Christians, we're taking our seed, we're taking our money, and we're investing in the sower, we're investing in the missionary, we're investing it in the church planner, God will take care of us. You know, Philippians, we already read it. It tells how those Christians in the church at Philippi, they gave their seed, they gave their money, they gave to meet the financial needs of the apostle Paul and Silas, the sowers, so that they could go as missionaries and church planters to win souls and preach the gospel and start churches in different cities. And there were some Christians that they were giving their seed, they were giving their money, they were giving what they had to a sower, to a missionary, to a church planner doing the work of God. The Bible says in verse 10, he that ministers seed to the sower, the next expression says, both minister bread for your food. Both minister bread for your food. What will God do? God will bless and take care of your needs because you invested in the sower. He will minister bread for you, your food. He will take care of your physical needs. You've been taking and you've been helping to minister to the physical needs of some missionaries, Paul and Silas. You've been giving and helping, and you invest in these missionaries and help to send the gospel to Tuktoyaktuk and to Fiji and to Kenya and so on. And God says, I'll minister bread for your food. I'll take care of your needs. God promised in Philippians, didn't he? Paul wrote to them, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God was going to supply the needs for that church at Philippi, for those Christians at Philippi. God was going to minister to their personal physical needs, provide for the food and bread. The Bible goes on there in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10 and says this, and multiply your seed sown. And multiply your seed sown. I really believe that scripturally God will give more to the person who he can trust to give it away. If you'll take the bag that God has given you and you'll just be content with that and you'll say, God, I'm going to honor you with the tithe. God, I want to give offerings. I want this world to be reached for Christ. God, I want to meet needs when I see needs and it's in my ability to maybe do something to help. Listen, you will reap more than what you sow. God will minister bread for your food. He'll help to take care of your needs. But not only that, he'll multiply your seed sown. He'll start giving you a bigger bag to work with. Because he says, wow, that person, they're honoring me. Wow, that person, they're seeking to meet needs. They're seeking to help missions. They're trying to do the work of Christ. When we minister seed to the sower, when we're helping preachers and missionaries and church planters and so on, God will minister bread for your food. He'll take care of your needs. You'll reap what you sow. But you'll also reap more than what you sow. The Bible says he'll multiply your seed sown. You'll reap more than what you sow. You'll reap in proportion to your sowing. But remember that you must sow before you reap. God will multiply and bless your seed, your money, only if you sow it, if you give it. We never gain more by holding on to it. We gain more by giving. There is he that scattereth and yet increaseth, the Bible says. There is he that withholdeth more than what they really should. Withholdeth more than his meat. Withholdeth more than what is necessary. But the Bible says it tendeth to poverty. Listen, we gain more by giving, not by holding on to it for ourselves. God expects us to simply give from what he have, and he will multiply and bless our seed sown. And then there at the end of verse 10, it says this, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. What else will God do? He'll increase the fruits of your righteousness. Do you know something? There will be spiritual, eternal fruit to your account because of your righteousness to give. The Bible said over in Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 17, Paul wrote this to these Christians in the church at Philippi who were givers, investing in the work of God. He said this to them, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Fruit that would abound. Spiritual fruit. Churches would be planted. Souls would be saved. Families would be reached with the gospel. Paul and Silas were getting to go to other cities and plant churches, getting to go take the gospel into other places, and people got to hear about Christ for the first time, and people were believing, and people were getting saved. You know what that was doing? That was multiplying their fruit. That was increasing the fruits of their righteousness. That was fruit abounding to their account because of their giving. And Paul writes here in the book of Corinthians and challenges them, hey, you'll reap more than what you sow. You'll reap what you sow. If you seek to meet the needs of people, God will meet your needs. God will take care of bread for your food. He'll meet your needs. But not only that, He'll multiply your seed sown. You'll reap more than what you sow. God will bless. God will give you a bigger bag to start working with. He'll make it so that you are abounding and you can do more even for Christ. He'll increase the fruits of your righteousness. He'll make sure that there is eternal fruit to your account. He'll expand what you're doing and increase your ministry. There'll be treasures in heaven. There'll be fruit in heaven. There'll be souls saved in heaven. Why? Because you gave to help some missionaries take the gospel to the ends of the earth. You know, what souls will there be saved one day in Fiji? What souls will there be saved one day in Kenya? What souls will there be saved one day in Uruguay? What souls will there be saved one day in Japan or Tuktoi Aktoi? Because you know what? We gave to help send the gospel. We invested in some sowers, some missionaries, some church planters. God will make sure that there's fruit. He'll increase the fruits of your righteousness.
There'll be spiritual fruit to your account in heaven. What should we do? We should invest our money in the right kind of person. That's a sower. That's a soul winner, a missionary, a church planner. We should invest our money in the right place and should be given through the local church. Number three, we must invest our money in the right purpose. Spreading of the gospel to lost souls. The spreading of the gospel to lost souls. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to see the need of this world for the gospel. Help us to see, Lord, that you want us to have a part. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to take what we do have. Take the bag that we do have. Take what you have put into our life, what you have blessed us with. And realize that that's from you. And Lord, we need to honor you. We need to put you first. We need to bring our tithe to you. We need to bring our offerings to you. And Lord, we need to see the need of this world for Christ. And help to send the gospel. We need to see the needs around us and do what you enable us to do, what you allow us to do, and what you want us to do, God, to help meet those needs. And God, I pray that as we do that, as we obey you and in faith do what you lay on our heart to do, God, I pray that you would keep the promises and principles of your word. These principles of sowing and reaping, these truths of scripture, the promise that you will multiply our seed. You will give us bread for our food. You will increase the fruits of our righteousness. We'll lay up treasures in heaven. We'll have rewards in heaven. There'll be fruit to our account in heaven. God, just help us to see that we can have a part in your work. And Lord, help us to do what you want us to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to show a very short missions video right now. And as we do that, I want you to take your faith promise card. And I certainly encourage you, men and ladies and young people, to have a part. And I hope you've been praying about that. I want to show this missions video. And as that's being shown, I want you to take time and in prayer, very prayerfully and with a heart to God, I want you to... We'll all together, we'll fill out our faith promise commitment cards and we'll collect those in just a moment. If you need a pen, just maybe raise your hand and Eric will try to get a pen to you, okay? If you need a pen, Eric, would you look around? If anybody needs a pen, Eric will help you with that.
realizing my responsibility to spread the good news of salvation to the ends of the earth. I promise the Lord that over the next year, in faith and dependence upon God, I'll give the following amount each week for the World Missions Program of Gospel Baptist Church. This never gets used for our church or take care of our needs. Every penny of it will go to help missionaries take the gospel around the earth. Fill that out in the date and child team out. Maybe just check one of those boxes. It's encouraging. Eric, would you grab an offering plate?